This is the Taco Boat Wellness Podcast with your host, your coach, your Everside Wellness Practitioner, Courtney Handelin. I love tacos and a good play on words as much as the next person. Okay, maybe a little bit more than the next person. But this podcast is about more than just that. Just like each taco can have a variety of toppings, so too is each person's path to wellness. Both tacos and wellness are customizable for each individual. And with each season, it may look a little bit different, and that's totally okay. In this podcast, you'll gain insight from providers here at our Waukesha Clinic and all across Everside Health. We'll even sprinkle in a few local community experts, all to tap into the many areas or toppings of wellness. So let's get this party started and taco boat wellness. Welcome back to the Taco Boat Wellness Podcast. This is episode number 43, and today I am really looking forward to having, honored to have with us Nancy Plummins, who is our regional medical director. Nancy, before I ramble on with you about you, do you want to just say a little hello to our audience?
Yes. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining. I'm excited to be here and spend a little time with you and talk to Courtney.
Yes. Awesome. So glad to have you. So today we are talking about tobacco and again, honored and the perfect person to be talking with because Nancy here, outside of being a family nurse practitioner for over 37 years, working with Everside Health for 16 and a half years. She has successfully taken 300 patients and helped them through tobacco cessation. Also has a lot of credentials behind it, attending Mayo Clinic's tobacco cessation counselor course, certified tobacco cessation counselor by American Lung Association. You're from Niagara Falls, New York, which is really cool. I love going to Niagara Falls. I've only been once, but I do hope to go back. Nancy, do you have any other fun facts to share with our listeners?
Yeah, actually, my husband and I, we own an escape room called Escape Ooh. On Purpose. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
And the title means that we escape for fun and give on purpose because we are associated with three charities. And the three charities are Step Up Durham Ministries, which helps the underemployed in our community, Wounded Warrior, which is near and dear to our hearts, and Independent Animal Rescue. Those are all things that are important to us. And we decided that we would start a business and give part of the money, the proceeds to these charities of your choice.
That is so neat. If I'm ever, I've been to that North Carolina, Durham area, but I would hope to go back. And if I do, I will definitely go to that escape room. What do you have like a favorite escape room theme right now that you either enjoy doing or that seems to be most popular?
Well, our newest one is a starship, and we also have a 1942 World War II submarine. Which is pretty cool.
Wow. Oh, I bet that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Those are fun. Do you do them virtual too, or is it just like site?
In person.
Okay. Very cool. Well, maybe I'll have to put the name of your place in our show notes just in case anyone's looking for it. All right. So back to the topic of tobacco. I'm not really sure how to segue that. Let's see. Maybe you'll have some fun fact about tobacco. It's coming off of fun. Or I guess, you know what, actually, I just thought of, like, you're doing an escape, a purposeful escaping and for fun. And tobacco, I mean, people probably feel like they're trying to escape from tobacco. So I guess that's our transition there. Okay, hold up. Before we go any further, we do want to give a quick disclaimer that this podcast is provided for educational and informational purposes only and does not constitute providing medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your doctor or other qualified health provider regarding a medical condition, especially keeping in mind that we're speaking in general terms and each individual is different. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something stated on this podcast. Neither Everside Health nor its employees nor any contributor to this podcast makes any representations expressed or implied with respect to the information provided herein or to its use. And of course, I'm sure lots of people know by now at this point in history, 2023, that tobacco is, you know, not healthy. Any startling or eye-open or like maybe lesser known statistics you'd like to share about tobacco use and its poor health outcomes?
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot, but a couple that come right to mind. About 10% known of our American youth today, which is over 2.5 million middle schoolers and high schools, admit to using e-cigarettes. That's likely unreported, underreported, Courtney.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And if you combine that with adult vaping, that's about one out of every five people in this country are currently using using e-cigarettes or doing some kind of vaping. So that's concerning to me. Another eye-opening, I think, statistic is that children of tobacco users are three times more likely to use tobacco products themselves sometime in their life. No matter what you say or do as a parent, it's more of what you do that impacts your children's lives. Being around your smoke, even your exhalation after you use tobacco, puts a certain amount of nicotine and tobacco byproduct into the air where your children are breathing. And that may be the beginning of starting an addiction for them when they're little.
Oh, sure. That makes sense. I mean, you're right. I think a lot of people probably do think of the seeing of that habit and seeing that as like a norm. Even if you tell them it's not a good thing, but that makes sense that it might be just the like chemical release of that can trigger it. So great. I love those startling statistics. I mean, I don't love that they're true, but I think sometimes, you know, those can help to wake us up a little bit or realize just how dangerous a problem the habit can be. So what tips do you have for someone who is wanting to quit tobacco, but maybe they're struggling? I mean, I know it can take a lot of attempts.
Yes, it can. I would say start by stop saying the word quit. And here's the reason why. Not to call you on that, Courtney, but
no, I love it. That's good.
Here's the thing: when people look back at any attempts that they've made, their quit attempts or they look at them as failures if they fail to quit. However, if you switch it around and instead of looking at it as a quit attempt, look at it as a successful stop. And that means when you stop for any given time at all, stop for a pregnancy, you stop for Lent, you stopped for 2 weeks, you stopped for 3 days, all of those are successful stops. And what you have to learn then is how to connect those together to make it a final stop. And in that way, it gives you more hope that you can be successful. Because if you look at these attempts as successful stops, just more brief than maybe you want, they're still successful. And that can lead you to believe that you can keep going and you're going to get it right the next time.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Just that big, how big of a mind shift it can make between the words you're saying. And I guess, you know, for me too, as a practitioner who's helping people, the words I'm using and how encouraging them to use more self-empowering vocabulary, just saying stopping tobacco instead of quitting. You're right. It does take so many attempts, and that makes it, I think, more motivating. You know, each attempt can get longer and longer until you can, you know, really, really, truly stop using tobacco. What about, you know, this is always a hard one. And I definitely have had, you know, people come into my office who they know that they should stop, but they maybe just don't want to, or they don't feel like it's the right time, even if they want it to be the right time, but they're thinking like, this just isn't a good time. Any tips or support for that scenario?
Sure, absolutely. I have several. First, be gentle with yourself. I think it's very important. I mean, tobacco nicotine is an extremely dependent causing chemical, one of the most dependency causing chemicals out there. And because of that, it gets a grip on people pretty easily. So a lot of folks will do this independently. They don't want to tell people they're trying to stop. They will keep that hidden just in case that they perceive that they may fail. But I think getting support is important. And focusing on your successes, that's important. Figuring out what your underlying issue, why are you using tobacco? Are you anxious? Are you bored? Are you using tobacco to replace eating? Are you going through a stressful time? Are you just habitual about it? There's so many reasons that people use tobacco. I think it's a good idea if you're struggling or if you are thinking about it, even thinking a little bit about it, is break it down a little bit for yourself. And then try cutting down rather than stopping cold turkey. I call it warm turkey. Go ahead and try some warm turkey and just say, okay, I usually smoke two or three cigarettes on my way to work. Try to smoke one, cut it down to one and during that time and enjoy it. Pay attention to it. Be present. It's mindful tobacco use where you actually pay attention because part of that habit really gets into your ritual of your day to where you're mindlessly using tobacco, similar to the way people mindlessly eat in front of the TV or in front of a movie. You're not even really thinking about the eating. You're just doing it because that's your routine or your ritual. And you tend to eat and you tend to use more tobacco when you hook it up with those rituals that we do on a regular basis.
That makes sense. I think, you know, I've seen a lot of success with patients that I've walked through both of those strategies of like cutting it down and maybe giving yourself praise for that too. Like you said, of like, it's still better to have, you know, cut it in half or have less than what you've had. That's less nicotine that you're exposing your body to. And it, you know, it's part of the process. And like you said too, having the change of routine or figuring out why you're using it, those can be really powerful. What about for the listeners who maybe they themselves don't use tobacco, but there's someone, a loved one in their life who uses tobacco. What kind of tips do you have for those people? How can they best support that tobacco user with quitting or encouraging them to, I'm sorry, not quitting, with stopping their tobacco use or encouraging them to stop that tobacco use?
No problem. Yeah, this is a tough one. It is hard not to nudge, and I'm using that word in quotes, right, people you love very much. It's hard not to nudge them. And it's also hard to watch them do something that could or is hurting them because you care, you love them. But if your caring ends up being stressful or more of a sore spot in your relationship, you're no longer therapeutic. Instead, you actually become somewhat detrimental because you become a source of stress or the issue becomes a source of stress. It's hard for us because we're not the user to understand how it feels on that end. Here's a tip, and this is intentionally pun. Q-tip, which stands for quit taking it personally. Oh. I think what happens with people, and I use this often when I'm seeing patients, if they're upset and they are like yelling at me about something, it's not about me really. It's they're having strong feelings, and it's better if I can just back off and listen and not take it personally. I think that also will help the relationship. It helps you be more therapeutic as a loved one, trying to give them what they need. People don't like to be judged. We know we don't like to be judgment. So if you can replace your judgment with an anger with empathy and understanding, and that's hard because some people feel like if you loved me, you would do this, you would take care of yourself, so you'll be around for me and the kids or something, that's a hard thing to step away from. But if you really want to make a difference, ask your partner what, or your loved one, what can I do to help you the most? Get them involved. Say, I and tell them your why. why is it that you want them to stop, and what worries it, and use the I messages, and then ask them how you can be the best support. Is it better if I ask you about it? Should I just stay away? Should I figure out other ways to take care of our stress? Should I stop doing this? You know, whatever it is that can help decrease whatever their triggers are, you become a trigger shooter. And that means you shoot down the triggers that cause them, or help them shoot down the triggers that cause them to use more. And if you can do that together, now you're a team player, which is cool.
Yeah. Oh, great. So creating a team approach and asking how you can help and having discussions around that instead of just trying to throw everything at them.
Right. Yes.
I love that. Yeah. And that, I mean, that probably pulls into the, just as the person using tobacco should probably work on being more mindful with that habit, the person supporting them being more mindful with how they can best support. So shifting gears a little bit, I think vaping is not, it's not as, well, actually, let me take that back. I was going to say it's not as popular any right now, but I take that back. It still is, because I just remember, driving recently and seeing a lot of like billboards for vape and smoke shops. So let's spend a little bit of time talking about vaping. Maybe what I, in my head, when I was saying it's not as popular, I think it's been debunked that it's not the safer option. So can we talk about that as an alternative to smoking? And if there is a safer, healthy way to vape, what does that look like?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I think we should pay attention to vaping. I'm glad that you brought that up, because it's an important topic. And I think everybody on this call should listen to learn what EVALI stands for. And it's EVALI, which means e-cigarette or vaping associated lung injury. Uh-huh. And this started to appear in like around 2018, or at least we labeled it finally as that. And it got, the CDC got very interested in tracking it, and found out that there was several, like hundreds and thousands of people that were ending up in urgent cares and ERs, young people that ended up on ventilators, that ended up having severe lung damage, terrible x-rays related to e-cigarettes and vaping, especially people who were vaping cannabis or THC, which is put into vitamin E, and that's an oil. And when that gets into the lungs, that causes a horrendous amount of damage, as do the food flavorings. All of the flavorings that are associated with e-cigarettes are basically approved for food products. Never meant to ingest or inhale into the lungs. Yeah. So that's caused a lot of concern. It's caused damage. We started tracking it pretty closely until COVID hit. And then once COVID hit, and then all of those types of lung issues started, we kind of dropped off on e-cigarette tracking. Right. It's and also e-cigarette use dropped off for a little while when the teenagers were at home with mom and dad. But now that they're back in school, e-cigarettes are taking off. And you're right. The way you can tell that is just look around at how many vape shops you see.
Yeah.
Those vape shops have to pay rent, and they are, a lot of them are in high rent districts. And trust me, I'm a small business owner. I know what rents are like, and that is no cheap matter. So they are making a decent amount of money with a lot of these e-cigarette shops coming up. So I would say that as far as a healthy way, it's more socially acceptable, Courtney, because it doesn't have the bad smell and the off-putting that smoking cigarettes does, but it's an unregulated amount of nicotine, and nicotine is a poison. If a child ate a pack of cigarettes, they may die. Extremely toxic. I live down here in North Carolina. I see fields and fields of tobacco. Never do I see a deer or a bunny nibbling on a tobacco plant. Nobody will go near it because it's very toxic. And because of that, We have to know that anything containing nicotine is not ideal. It does have an effect on your brain. It changes your brain, and that causes that dependence. There is a dopamine release with it, very similar to cocaine and heroin and other drugs that give a feeling of pleasure. And that's the hook that it's there. So it's vaping is really just a different way to deliver this. I was excited when vaping came out, and that was around 2006, 2007, because it was deemed a tobacco cessation tool.
Right. Yeah, I remember
absolutely
that.
Absolutely epic God, fail on the tobacco cessation tool. As a matter of fact, there's several people who do both now. And there has been no real sign that it has helped in any significant way of reducing tobacco use as far as getting people off of smoking either an e-cigarette or a regular cigarette or dipping. But if I had to, I mean, there's heavy metals that come through because it has to ignite the nicotine liquid in order to create the vape. So there's heavy metals that are also inhaled. It's not been around long enough to really know long-term effects, but I can tell you there's a decent amount of damage out there. And even some people that are being deemed having lung issues from COVID, we're not sure if those aren't some people that have e-cigarette problems as well. So so is there a safer, a happy or healthier way to vape? I cannot endorse it. I can tell you there is about 6,000 to 8,000 chemicals in tobacco smoking. If I had to choose, hold the gun to me, I would vape, but I'd prefer that we kind of get off of the whole thing altogether.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it sounds like maybe a non-nicotine
vape. That would be better.
Transition out, but you're right. It almost just makes it better. More, it just allows you to have more opportunities to have the nicotine and inhaling all the toxins because it allows you to do that in places where currently you're not allowed to smoke. Although I have started to see, signs that say like no smoking, but also no vaping allowed. So that, hopefully helps. Okay. So thinking of those people who are vaping, whether they use other tobacco forms or not, is to quit vaping, is it kind of similar tools that you would use to other tobacco things?
Sure. So first of all, if I was trying to get off of vaping and that was an interest of mine, or whether you're vaping now, switch off of the flavored kinds that they were outlawed or by the FDA. I mean, they shut Juul down. And Juul, by the way, is owned by Philip Morris. Hype is owned by RJ Reynolds. So they have skin in the game there, and they have a lot of money for advertising. So they're just fine with you using it as a cessation tool or not. Either way, they're making their money. So I would definitely look if you're trying, because when you are looking at getting off of vaping, it's very similar, because what you're trying to do is get rid of your nicotine dependence. And so you can use nicotine replacement. That is absolutely fine to use that. Also, try to figure out why. I think that's always helpful when you're trying to stop some type of a habit. Are you doing it for out of boredom or just for the pleasure or depression or stress or anxiety? We have a lot of ways to handle all of those things from a medical standpoint. There's plenty of opportunity to handle kind of the underlying issue. I think if we get to the why and manage the underlying issue, it'll make it a lot easier to change your behavior pattern.
Okay. Awesome. What about, can we sidebar just real quickly?
And yes.
Talk about hookah? I mean, I'm guessing it's kind of similar, like not regulated at all. And I think I remember this being a hot thing when I was in college, and I don't see it quite as much now, but maybe that's because I'm not walking around college campus.
I think they're still out there. Hookah bars are probably still out there. And right, it's very similar. It is tobacco. It is flavored. And you smoke it, I think, usually through water. It delivers nicotine. It still has the potential for becoming dependent. And I would I would avoid it or treat it just like you would other tobacco or nicotine products.
Okay. And can we talk a little bit about chewing tobacco or dipping?
Sure.
I mean, I think it's similar, the similar things for quitting, I'm guessing. But are there any healthier alternatives for this?
Good question. And dipping, actually chewing tobacco and dipping is subtle. It's insidious. It's out there. It's more than people think, because it's very easy to hide and you can dip all the time. Probably my most dependent patient dipped 24/7. He dipped while he ate and he slept and he drank. And he worked, he had a dip in 24/7 and he had already developed gum disease, et cetera. But it was just that easy. And that really started to, besides the sports figures with baseball and race cars and things like that, where it was part of that culture, also started when we started making buildings and campuses smoke free. People just switched. They switched over to dipping. So it's real. And I've worked with several people who have dipped or chewed, and I treat them exactly like I do a smoker, who, because the nicotine addiction is strong. It's straight. And our mucosa in our mouth is very good at absorbing treat drugs, chemicals. So it is a very good delivery system, not quite as quick as smoking, which takes about 7 seconds to hit the brain, but it's up there. So I would also either treat anxiety first, whatever that is, or the depression first, before I started on the helping people with the dipping. But then I would go ahead and use nicotine replacement and all the same behavior modifications, lots of support, and certainly compassion and close follow-up.
Right. Well, and I'm guessing sometimes they can have, like you said, almost a higher dose of nicotine because of the frequency might be allowed to be even more, because it's a more of like a thing you can do in secrecy. You know, you don't have to like slip out for a smoking break.
That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah. Crazy.
Now, Zyn is an option for dipping. They come in little pouches, and that is a non-tobacco. It does have nicotine in it. It's sold in a little tin, just like dipping tobacco is. That's one option that I would recommend. I've used that with patients, and it seems to do pretty well.
Okay, and then they have ones that kind of gradually reduce the amount of nicotine, I'm guessing?
Yes, they have a stepwise approach. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, okay. So is it a company that makes it for the purpose of cutting back and quitting?
It's like so many, it's offered as an alternative, and it can be, it can certainly be used to help people stop.
Yeah. Okay. I see. Yeah. I've seen some of those products like that, where they make regular, but then they also have ones without nicotine, and they got to make money, I guess, right?
They do. And okay. And just as a here's a fun fact. In May of 2022, the FDA received over 1 million applications for non-nicotine products like Zyn and like Black Buffalo.
Oh,
alternative
sure.
Non-tobacco nicotine products. It's a lot.
Wow. So you're right. I bet probably a good chunk of those are people that are currently making, or companies that are currently making tobacco ones, and
probably
they just need to have an alternative. But then, yeah, other people who see it as, you know, a good market to get into. Okay. So are there any favorite tools that you recommend people using when they're stopping, favorite apps or whatnot?
Sure. Yeah. I like the Easy Quit. It's free. It's a good app.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can upgrade it to a pro version, but there's a gradual cessation process they go through, positive reinforcement. That's a good one. Smoke Free is another one. That's an evidence-based medicine app. It's also free. That has a lot of access to community support, even health coaches, social media connections. They have a Facebook page. And then as you work along in that app, you actually get an opportunity to help others to stop as well, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, and we, of course, have a tobacco program with Everside Health. So any of our patients are probably eligible for that. And you helped design that program, didn't you?
I did.
Some degree. Yeah.
Yeah.
I should have let you plug that one.
I was gonna plug it at the end, Courtney, but that's okay.
You can talk more about it at the end for sure. And what that looks like. Okay. I guess so you could talk about that. And then is there anything else that we didn't cover yet that you want to share?
Sure. Yeah. Just kind of a recap.
Yeah.
So if you are a tobacco user, please don't give up trying to stop. Stopping is a process. It takes several attempts. You learn from each attempt and it moves you down the road. It does not move you back to zero. You're never back to where you started because you're at a different spot now and you know something different. Just as an example, you may want to avoid alcohol when you're trying to stop because that tends to undermine continued success. You need to make a plan for a crisis. We have crises and people say, well, it's not a good time for me. I got a lot going on. Honestly, when don't we have a lot going on? So right. I think planning for a crisis, because one of the first things that you do, and people do this from the time they're teenagers, because 90-some% of people who use tobacco start in their teen years. So they're still kids. And what happens is they develop this behavior pattern of anytime there's a crisis, they go right to using tobacco because it's there, it's constant, it doesn't let you down, it's easy to step out and use tobacco, and it helps calm you down. So that is a learned behavior for possibly 20, 30, 40 years. And in order to get away from that, you need to have another plan to help you when there is something that stressful comes up. So give some time and energy toward planning for a crisis. It's going to happen. And then use your Everside Health team for support. We have several providers that really love to help folks with tobacco cessation. We have a great wellness team. You're a part of it. Multiple tools to help you on your journey. And there's a lot of people that care. And that's what we need. When we're trying to get through a tough time, like giving up something we're dependent on, and trying to get healthier and get a healthier lifestyle, we need support and we need people who won't judge us and people who care. And I think that you can find that at Everside.
Yeah, absolutely.
A support person doubles or triples your chance for success.
So. Oh, totally. Well, I know there's research to support that, but I've even like observationally have seen it, you know, the people who work with here at the clinic, like myself and one of our providers, and maybe they're using like a nicotine patch or one of the like Chantix or bupropion, Wellbutrin. I mean, those patients, they are able to have those longer stopping periods, and they're, you know, I see them. I've been here for almost 9 years now, and you know, there's some that have, you know, can check multiple of those tools for their toolbox, and they're still tobacco free after 9 years.
So great.
Yeah. So, and I know, you know, it's probably one of those things of stages too. Like if someone is stopping, they might want to try and do it cold turkey or on their own, or maybe they're not ready to pull in all those resources. But I think it's helpful to remind people that we have a lot of resources here that we can help you with and put in your toolbox.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Nancy, for chatting today, talking about tobacco with me.
And thank you for having me, Courtney. I really enjoyed it.
I'm so glad we got to talk about wellness today. And I'm especially thankful for you, our audience. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions from this episode, please feel free to shoot me an email. For our Waukesha Everside members, if you would like to chat about how the concepts you heard in this episode can fit into your own personal taco of life, call to schedule a coaching appointment. If you really love this episode, be sure to give us 5 stars and share it with a friend. Everyone can find us on Facebook and YouTube at Waukesha Employee Health and Wellness. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from so you never miss an episode. See you on the first Tuesday of every month for Taco Tuesday. Until then, bye!